Where do you post your shiurim?
On YU Torah, it's called.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I listen to our Rabbi Ayuwasa.
Makes sense. So if you can open up to Daf Chaf Aleph, Omid Aleph. And this is the sugya of what's called Ribui Noshim. And the Torah says about the Melech, Lo Yar Belo Noshim. And the Mishnah says that he can marry up till 18 wives. Now, how do we get the number 18? Right. So the Gemara tells us that David in the city of Hebron had already six wives. And the Tanakh goes through the names of those six wives. And then David meets Nasan HaNavi, and Nasan HaNavi tells him that he has the option of adding Kahena V'Kahena. And the Gemara says Kahena V'Kahena means another six and another six. So all told, 6 times 3 is 18. The Gemara is not happy about this because there's a pasuk that says that David in Yerushalayim married Nashim Upilagshim, which would imply that he had married many wives. So the Gemara says that once Nasan in Hebron gave him the okay, the green light to marry up to 18, David was at that time only married to six wives, so he added Nashim Upilagshim Lemilui, the Gemara says, in order to round out the number at 18. So let's take a look and see if we can find this inside. So you'll see the Gemara inside. The Mishnah says, on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, Lo Yar Belo Noshim. And the Gemara tells us here on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, Hani Shmonasre Minolan. How do we arrive at the cap, the maximum of 18. So this you'll see in the last of the thin lines in the Gemara, if you have a standard text of the Gemara. And the Gemara says, Dichsiv, because of the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis, it says, Vayivoldu David Banim Bechevron. And the Tanakh goes through all of the wives of David. And then just fast forwarding a little bit, it says, Uka Amarle Navi, meaning Nasana Navi, tells David, in Ma'at, I'll read the whole pasuk, in Ma'at Lecha Nashim Elu, Sheyesh Lecha, if that's not enough, Vosifa Lecha, I'll allow you to add, Od Nashim Kahena V'Kahena. So Kahena means another six, and V'Kahena, a second V'Kahena means a third six. And that was the allotment, that was the allowance of 18 wives. Now, let's fast forward in the Gemara. And the Gemara says, Vaksiv, Vayikach David, Od Pilagshim V'Noshim B'Yerushalayim. Let's see if we can find this. It would be in the wide lines here on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Approximately, let's say 10 lines down, no, more than that. Just 1 second. I would say about maybe, it's hard for me to count, but let's say about 15 lines down. And the first word in the line is Masa, if you see such a line that starts with the word Masa. And it says in the middle of that line, V'haksiv, the pasuk testifies, V'yikach David od pilagshim v'noshim v'yushalayim. So how could Nasan have multiplied the number 6 by 3, Kahena V'Kahena, if David in fact was married to many wives, much more than the 6 that were listed in the Pasuk? And the answer is, L'milui Shmonasa, that these Nashim and Pilagshim that David married, that was subsequent to the heter, to the green light, the permission that he was granted by Nasan, Kahena Makahena, and it's Lemeluye up until Shmonasar.
It is for any king. This is not for any king, right?
This is for any king.
But didn't King Melech Shlomo have a lot of wives? Someone had 100 wives?
Right. So the Gemara says, believe it or not, that the Torah made a boo-boo. What was the mistake? HaKadosh Baruch Hu mistakenly revealed the reason why a melech should not marry more than 8 wives. And he says, V'lo yasur levavo. So Shlomo Melech said, I'm above that. There's no way that they'll be meser levavo. And therefore he continued marrying and marrying. The Gemara says that after that mistake was made, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided never to reveal the reasons for any of the mitzvahs. In any event, Shlomo Melch was certainly guilty of violating this isur of ribui noshim. Now, the Gemara says, if you have the place right where we stopped, my noshim umay pilagshim. You have that? Mm-hmm. What does the pasuk mean that David married not only noshim, which presumably are full-fledged wives in the general sense, and also pilagshim? What's the difference between these two categories? Omer Rabbi Yehuda Omer Rav, noshim b'ksuba u'b'kiddushim, pilagshim below ksuba u'below kiddushim.
So what's there?
Oh, so what is there? What does a pilegish have or receive, or how is she, in a sense, designated as a pilegish, if she doesn't have neither kiddushin nor ksuba? By the way, the word ksuba literally means the document, but really what ksuba refers to is what's called nisuin, because at the time of the chuppah, when the marriage reaches its fruition, that's when the ksuba is delivered to the isha. But in the case of pilagshim, there's no ksuba and no kiddush. Rashi, in his Pirush al HaTorah, in Parshas Chayisara, where it says that Avram took pilagshim, Rashi says pilagshim b'kiddushin ubelo ksuba. In other words, Rashi had a different text than we have in our Gemara. Our text says below ksuba below kiddushin. Rashi's text said below ksuba ubekiddushin. Now, what we want to study tonight, which is primarily in the Rambam's frame of reference, is who's allowed to marry a Pilegesh, and how is a Pilegesh married, and what's the nature of that marriage? Is anyone allowed to marry a Pilegesh, or is it only a king that's allowed to marry a Pilegesh? That's going to be one issue. The second issue we already indicated before, does the Pilegesh have Kiddushin without Ksuba, without Nisuin, or does she not have Kiddushin at all? And if that be the case, if she doesn't even have Kiddushin the way our text has it, what does she have, and what is her status? So what I'd like you to do is to open up to page Shin Yud Beis. And we're going to begin with the Rambam in Perek Dalet Mihilchus Molochim Halacha Dalet. This Rambam enumerates all of the authorities and the special rights of a king. And in the middle of that context, he says, V'chein, and in addition, lokeach mikol gvul Yisrael, noshim upilagshim. He can take from all the bounds, within the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, wives and pilagshim. And now the Rambam continues. Noshim b'ksuba v'kiddushim, upilagshim below ksuba ubelo kiddushin. So the Rambam has our girsa, the text in the Gemara as we have it, that pilagshim is without kiddushin and ksuba. But then the Rambam adds a few very important words. So what does a pilagish have? Ela b'yichud bilvad, which means he simply designates her for him. Kona osa, he has a kinyan on the pilegesh. Umuteraslo, uteraslo meaning that he's allowed to have an intimate relationship with her. That's called a heter bir. Then the Rambam adds another four words. Avala hejot osur vipilegesh. Hedgehog means anyone but a king is not allowed to marry a Pilegish.
This, there's a benefit to Kedushin without Kesuvin?
Well, I would say the following, that on the contrary, I would have asked the opposite question. Once she has Kedushin, she's a full-fledged Eshesish. Why do you call her Pilegish? Again, you haven't consummated the marriage at the level of Nesuin, with Chuppah, with Ksuba, but still Kedushin, Hareat Mekudeshesli, Kesef Shnar Biyah, that should be enough to generate a Kinyan relationship. That's classic Ishus. I don't know why you call that Pilegish. So on the contrary, my problem is Rashi. Why? Because Rashi is going to insist, let's read a little bit further in the paragraph, Ube Kesef Mishnah, the Kesef Mishnah, you know, is the one of the two super commentaries on the Rambam. There's the Magid Mishnah and the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah writes, Perek Sheni, the Sanhedrin. The Kesef Mishnah is always interested in mentioning the Talmudic source for the Rambam's Psak. And he quotes our Gemara, My Noshim Umay Pilagshim, Om Rabbi Yudom Rav, Noshim Biksuba, Ube Kedushin, Pilagshim Pilog Ksuba, Ube Lo Kedushin, Zuhi Girsas, Svarim Shebiodain. This is the text of the Gemara that we have. Then he says, V'afal Pisha Rashi Kosa, B'perusha La Torah, Sofarshas Chayisora, Shepilegish Hi B'kedushin, Belok Suva. So that the Rambam is directly opposed to Rashi. Rashi holds that in the case of Pilegish there is Kedushin. He says, Kfar Cholak Olav Shom HaRamban, in the Ramban's commentary on the Torah, he already disagrees with this Rashi, and he establishes that the correct text of the Gemara is, as we have it, Pilagshim Belo Ksuba Belo Kedushin. So there are two texts in the Gemara. There's Rashi's text of Kedushin Belo Ksuba, and that's how Rashi understood Pilegish. And now we have the Rambam's Girsa that we're talking about Belo Ksuba Ubelo Kedushin. Ela B'yichud Bilvad Kona Osa. That's the Rambam's language. Ubu Tereslo. That's okay.
Which is interesting because one of the ways of Kedushin is by Biyah. So by the Yichud, it's Kielos that she's married to him, except they didn't have Kavona.
They didn't even have beer. I mean, Yichud means he designates. So he says, you are my Pilegish. That's all he does.
Oh, they didn't have beer.
No, they didn't have beer. I mean, now he's allowed to have beer. That's what the Rambam says, Ubu Teresla. Because henceforth, once she's a Pilegish, he was Kona her. No one else is allowed to have a relationship except with her except for him. But it's a new kind of a Kinyan that's generated by Yichud. And who's able to effectuate that Kinyan? Only one person. Only the king. So if a hedgehog who's not a king would say to a woman, Hareyat miyuchedesli, and you be my Pilegesh, it would be meaningless, according to the Rambam. The Torah doesn't allow that. We're going to see why as we go along. But first I want to show you that even though the Ramban agrees to the Rambam's definition of Pilegesh, meaning that a Pilegesh is a woman who has no kedushin, and he accepts the gear as we have it, he disagrees with the Rambam about who's allowed to have a Pilegish. Because if you fast forward to the last paragraph on page Shin Yud Beis, that starts with the word Vehine Ramban, yes, we have that? So the Ramban in Chuvos, Heir means he commented on the words of the Rambam, Pilegish Asur Lehejot, the Kolev, V'gidon, v'shar gdol Yisrael, kulam nasu pilagshim. Were these people kings of Israel? Kalev was a great guy, but he wasn't a melech.
Okay.
Gidon was a great guy, but he wasn't the melech.
What is the Rambam based on that they had pilagshim? Reading the text itself? Or?
Yeah, this is all over Tanakh. I mean, you could see many, many different greats in Israel who took pilagshim, and nobody blinked. How's the Rambam going to support these Gemaras, not only Gemaras, but these Psukim and Tanakh? Fine. So again, just to summarize what we have so far, the Rambam holds that there's something called a Kinyan Pilegesh, and as a result of Yichud, of just designating her for him, he's Konoha with this Kenyan. He's allowed now to have this relationship, this intimacy with her, but that's only for a Melech. The Ramban accepts the Rambam's definition of Pilegesh, as reflected in our Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Girsa, as we have it, below Kiddushin, ubelow Ksuba. However, the Ramban argues that it's impossible to limit this heter of Pilegesh to a Melech, where we know that throughout history, many Gdoli Yisrael had Pilagshim. Fine. That's what I call Hakofa Aleph. Now we get to Hakofa Beis. Why does the Rambam think that only a king is allowed to marry a Pilegesh? What's the, if we could get into the mindset of the Rambam?
Only the king can afford it.
That's a good joke. I like that idea. Only a king can afford it. Chaim, I wish you to be a rich guy and you'll marry Pilegesh, because it's all a matter of how much finances you have.
It would cause chaos if you just have Pilegesh without Nisuin. But if the king just gets privilege.
I like the word privilege. Okay, chaos I don't like, but privilege I like.
It's a little problem to get rid of the 18 restriction.
Who wants to get rid of the 18 restriction?
The king.
Well, now you're asking a different question, and earlier this week we had a long discussion about this, which I'm not going to review. What happens if amongst the 18 wives of the king there are Pilagshim? Mm-hmm. Are they included within the number 18, or are they beyond the number 18? That's a different question. But my friends, what we have to really come to grips with is the concept of living with a woman, having an intimate relationship with a woman without Kiddushin. And what is that? So keep in mind, as we go through the next piece here on the bottom of Shin Yud Beis, that there's a concept called Bias Nus. Now what does that mean, Bias Znus? You could talk about the Bia itself and call it Bias Nus, that's a way of describing the relationship, the intimacy, or you could talk about the woman and her stature. What would you call her?
Azona.
Azona. So you can talk about, number one, she's a Zona, and number two, you can talk about the Bia with her as a Bias Nus. Are those two concepts interdependent, or are they separate and independent one of the other? Meaning, can you have a woman who's not a Zona, but yet the Bia with her, because there was no Kiddushin, is by definition a Bias Nus? Or do we say no? There's no such thing as a Bias Nus unless you're having Bia with the Zona. So again, all this sounds very abstract, but let's give it some teeth, because this is going to be a major machlokus between the Rambam and the Raif. They're going to be at each other's throats. So we're up to line 4 in this last paragraph, and it says, V'hinei Rambam. Now, until now, we've been learning the Rambam in Hilchas Melachim. Now, we're going backwards to the Rambam in Hilchas Ishus. The Rambam has in Perek Aleph Mi'i Ishus an entire introduction to the concept of Ishus. And he goes back to describe the situation that existed before Matan Torah. And he writes that Kodim Matan Torah, Ha'adam Pogea Isha B'Shuk, a man encounters a woman in the marketplace, Ratzahu Vehi, they have a consenting agreement. Is no say lo schara, he can say to her, I'm going to pay you off, uboel osam ema derech vaholichlo, and can have this one relationship with her, free love, and, well, not free because he paid for it, and then go on in life. Says the Rambam, vizu hi hanikres kidesha. Notice that the Rambam is aware of a woman who is willing to take money for this favor, and he calls her by a name, he categorizes, so he doesn't use the name Zona, but he uses the name Kiddesha. And before Matan Torah, this is what happened. A man found a woman, he paid her off, and she was a Kiddesha, and he had a relationship with her, and then goodbye. Says the Rambam, Mishenitna Torah, once the Torah was given, Nesra HaKedesha. Now again, if you would have asked me what the Rambam has in mind, Nesra HaKedesha, I would say that the Torah prohibited having a relationship with a Kedesha. But the Rambam goes way beyond that. First, he quotes the Pasuk to prove that Nesra HaKedesha, Shenemar Lo Siya HaKedesha Mibnos Yisrael, but then he expands the whole scope. He mamish like blows it out of the water. He says, Lefichach, Kol HaBoel Isha L'Shem Znus. Now he's describing not her and what she does for a living, if you pardon the phrase, but rather the intimacy that he has with her. He has no intention of marrying her. He simply wants to have this pleasure, this fling. That's called the L'Shem Znus. Below Kiddushin, he did not give her Kesef Shtar or Bia in front of two Edom, etc., etc. Says the Rambam, Lokim and Atorim, they should Baal Kedesha. Very interesting. We thought that the Kedesha was this professional woman who's waiting for any man to come and pay her fee. Now the Rambam says, no. Pardon the expression, a one night stand, you know, some sort of free relationship outside of the framework of Kiddushin, that itself is called a Bia L'Shem Znus. Why? Because there was no Kiddushin. He did not intend to make this Bia into a Bias Kiddushin and effectuate a permanent relation with her. And that is a violation, says the Rambam, of the Lav of Lo Siya Kedesha. So the Rambam has now expanded the definition of a Kedesha vis-a-vis the love of Lo Siya Kedesha. It's any woman involved in a Maisa Bia, and that Bia is L'Shem Znus, which means it's outside the framework of Kedushin. That itself is a violation of Lo Siya Kedesha. The Raivin can't tolerate this. Says the Raivin, Ein HaKedesha Ela Mizumenes. Vehi, going on to the next page, HaMufkeres L'Chol Adam. She's just waiting for her next customer. Avol HaMisyachedes Atzma L'Ish Echad. Says the Raivid, the description of the Rambam of a woman who wants to have a relationship with one particular man, but they do it outside of the framework of Kiddushin. She's not interested in having such intimacy with anyone but this man, but for whatever reason they're not getting married. Ein bo lo malkis. She's not a Kedesha, she's not Mufkeres Lakol. V'lo Iser Lav. Unbelievable. There's no violation of a Lav. The man is having a relationship without Kedusha. The Torah says, marry a woman. He says, no, I'm not going to marry a woman. We're going to have a relationship, and there's not going to be any marriage. Says the Raivin, she's not a Kedesha, she's not Mufkeres Lakol, she's Miacheres Atzma to one man. There's no Malkus or violation of any Lav. Not only that, he ha pilegesh haksuva b'torah. That's exactly what a pilegesh is. A woman who continues with one man outside the framework of marriage. There's no kiddushin. And after the commentaries analyze this, right, they add yesh svarim shekosuva pilegeshin b'kiddushin below ksuba, that there is such a girsa that Rashi has. We don't accept this girsa of Rashi, and our understanding of Pilegesh is that there's no Kiddushin.
Interesting about a coin. Can a coin have a Pilegesh that's a Grusha? Because he's not marrying her.
Can a Kohen have a again, this is only a question according to the Raivid. According to the Rambam, no one's allowed to have a Pilegesh. No, but according to the Raivid, then any man, a Hedjo, could have a Pilegesh. What happens if what? If she was a Grusha? And now he just wants to have... I would tell you, again, it's an excellent question. Again, it's way off the topic. Again, we're touching on a gigantic topic that has, you know, ripple effects all over the place. But if you ask me for my intuitive answer, I can't promise you that this is the right answer. I would tell you that it's us. Or why? Because the Rambam holds that once a woman is designated for a man, and it's a Pilegesh. Again, the Rambam only allows that in the case of a Melech, and we have to figure out why. then that's a marriage relationship. Because the Rambam goes out of his way to say that kona osa umuteres lo. Once the Rambam says kona osa, the Rambam has a new entity of ishus, of a relationship of marriage, without kiddushin, and that's called a pilegish. So I don't think that a kohen would be allowed to enter into such a relationship if this woman is a grusha. But again, as I said, way off our topic. Vehine, l'das haRambam, afilu hamiyacheres atzmo liyodam echad, even though she's not mufkeres lakol, she's only, you know, singularly dedicated to this one man, gamkein osur, it's included on the lav of kedeshus. So there's good news here and there's bad news. The good news is I begin to understand and appreciate why the Rambam is not going to allow you and I to have a real pelegish, because according to the Rambam that would be a violation of the lav of kedeshus. That's the good news. The bad news is I'm not going to understand how the melech is allowed to marry a pilegesh, since according to the Rambam, even if she's miucheves, but since it was no kedushin, it's a violation of the law of kedush.
What's the law of kedush? Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's go back to basics. Somehow I messed up here. This was a pedagogic failure. Okay. Let's start again. The Rambam says that before the Torah was given, a man could have a relationship with a woman, and that was what went on. Once the Torah was given, that relationship between a man and a woman is called Kedesha. That's the name of this woman. And the Torah says, Lo tia Kedesha mibnos Yisrael. You are not allowed to have a relationship with a Kedesha. And therefore, says the Rambam, Kol abol Isha, any man who has beer with an Isha, below Kedushin, Loka min haTorah, he's violated a Torah law called Kedesha, but they should Baal Kedesha. I apologize that I didn't emphasize this. Alright. Okay. So again, we begin to appreciate why, according to the Rambam, a Pilegesh is not a prerogative for anyone but a king, because it would be a violation of Kedesha. Because the Rambam holds that any beer without Kedushin is a violation of a law of Kedesha. However, the bad news is, that's how he concludes this paragraph in King Tikshe, let's ask the following question, Eich Melech Mutar, how could a king be Mutar, without Kedushin, to designate a woman as a Pilegesh? After all, that, according to the Rambam, is a violation of the law of Kedesha. Now, Alan, you used the word before that I liked, but I don't remember what the word was.
Privilege.
Excellent. So let's analyze that word privilege in light of the Rivash, which is the next paragraph. The Rivash lived about 6 centuries ago. He was a Sephardi, and one of the last of the Rishonim. And he writes a tshuva in which he tries to understand how the Rambam could permit a melech to marry a pilegesh without kedushin and seemingly violate the law of kedusha. He says the following: Afal gav shalehejot osur pilegesh beisur kedushos. Even though the Rambam shita is that a pilegesh is a kedusha in that law, shiny melech is different. Why? And here, the Rivash quotes Sefer Shmuel, where Shmuel gives us an entire list of the prerogatives of a king. I think, Chaim, you were the one who helped us last week to photocopy that section in Shmuel, wasn't it you?
Yeah.
So again, yashar koach. I have the copies floating around over here. But in that long list of the prerogatives and the powers and the authority of a king, it says, V'espen osechem yikach. That means he can take your daughters as his wife, right? Says the Rivash, listen carefully, Kevan sheyesh lemelech rishus likach noshim upilagshim kirtsono me'asher yivchar. Once, according to Shmuel, the Torah gave the king a right, a privilege, to take wives and pilagshim from Bnos Yisrael, in kein lo nechsheva lezona, this is not included in the Iser Lav of Kedesha. Sharei michukei amalucha huze, this is part of the laws of a king. The adrava, im hi monas atzma mimenu, if she refuses to marry him and he wants to marry her, he osa shalom kedin, she's a rebellious woman. This is the Rivash. Says the Gvuris Yitzchok, in summarizing the Rivash, the heter pilegesh lemelech beli kedushin ledas harambam nilmad midin mishpat hamelech sheyesh lo zchus likach noshim upilagshim bal karcham against their will v'hach zchus, and that right that was granted to the king. Zeu hamafkia, that's a beautiful word here, if you want to underline the word, zeu hamafkia, es hashem kedeshus. In other words, you can't call her a kedesha, which the Torah prohibits, and then say the Torah allows him to take the kedesha because he's the king. If the Torah is allowing him to take the kedesha because he's the king, that's mafkia the shem kedesha. Do you hear what he's saying? Right, the Torah says a woman who's called a Kedesha, which means that he has a relationship with her outside of Kedushin, is prohibited. Now the Torah says to the Melech, he's allowed to take Pilagshin, which according to the Rambam means that she had no Kedushin. If she had no Kedushin, she's a Kedesha. So it means that the Torah removed the shame Kedesha with regard to a Melech. So when the Melech is involved in having this Pilegesh relationship, that's not called Znus. And the Torah doesn't prohibit it. It's a very interesting way of understanding the Shita Saram.
If maybe I'm deducting correctly, a king can never have a Biyat Znut according to this?
Well, of course. No one's allowed to have a Biyat Znut. The Torah says, Lotia Kadesha Bibnos Yisrael. You know, the king is not above the law.
Yeah.
But the answer is, who is a Kadesha?
Yeah.
Once the Torah says that the king is allowed to take this woman as a Pilegesh, what the Torah is saying is that she's not a Kadesha. Now add to that the fact that the Rambam says that even though there was no Kiddushin, but Kona Osa Umuteres Lo, which means that according to the Rambam, in a case of a Pilegesh, there is a framework of Kinyan, albeit without Kiddushin. In the case of a king, the Torah says that that relationship of Kona Osa is enough to be Mafkia, to undermine the status of Kedesha, and it's no longer Bias Nus. So the Kenyan that the Melech effectuates by being Miyached a woman as a Pilegesh is recognized and validated by the Torah, and it removes the status of Kedesha such that the law of Lotia Kedesha doesn't apply. But that's only in the Melech, because of Mishpat HaMelucha, because he's allowed to take Pilagshim. The Torah went out of its way to grant him that right and set up a relationship which is called a Pilegesh relationship. For you and I, we have a status of hedyot, that we're not a melech. The Torah says, Lo tia kedesha bibnos Yisrael. And by definition, the Rambam holds any bia outside of kedushin is called a bias kedesha.
So we cannot have a pilegesh.
So therefore, there's no heter for you and I to get a pilegesh. The Raven, on the other hand, says that any hedyot, even though he's not a king, is allowed to take a pilegesh. The Raven understood that the Iser of Kedesha only applies to what kind of a woman? Exactly, Mizumenes L'chol Adam, Mufkeres L'chol. But in the case of Pilegesh, she is designated for him and only for him to the exclusion of any other man. She's not Mufkeres L'chol, she's not a Kedesha. Hence the Rav of Lishitaso would understand that the Torah allowed a Pilegesh for anyone. And the Ramban says, well, if you look in Tanakh, you'll see all the greats of Israel who had Pilagshim, and they weren't kings of Israel. We're still stuck with that question on the Rambam. But you begin to see the pieces of the puzzle fitting into place over here. The Ravid's very limited, restricted definition of Kedesha as a woman who's Mufkeres Lakol If she's not Mufkeres Lakol Shibuchedes Lo, then she's a Pilegesh, and there's no reason to prohibit a Pilegesh to a Hedgeh, because there's no Isur Lav of Kedesha in the case of Pilegesh. The Rama has a broader definition of Kedesha, in which any Bia outside of the framework of Kedushin is called a Bias Kedesha. There's no way you could be Matir a Pilegesh relationship, because there was no Kedushin. If there's no Kedushin, it's a Lav of Kedesha. But the Rama has one joker card in his sleeve, in his pocket, and that is that a melech is different. Says Rivash, why is a melech different? Is he above the law? He's also violating the law of Kedesha. So the answer is, says the Rivash, that once the Torah in Mishpatei Hamelucha grants this schus to the king to take Nashu v'pilachim v'chol gvulos Yisrael, that is mafkia the shame Kedesha. And if there's no Kedesha, there's no law of losia Kedesha v'nos Yisrael.
It doesn't answer the question which you brought up, is that how does the Rambam address that all the greats of Israel?
Yeah, that's why I pointed out, Alan. Maybe you didn't hear me, so I'll repeat myself again. We still have that question on the Rambam, and that's why we haven't even scratched the surface of this 15-page essay, of which we've learned less than one page. So let me not scare you, because I'm not going to keep you here until Mashiach comes, and we're not going to go through the 15 pages, but my hope is, I'm looking at the clock, that within the next 26 minutes, we'll at least get an answer to the Ramban's question. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm hoping. We're not going to be makif the whole spiel, because there'll still be some holes in the thing, but we'll get to the main part. Does anyone want to do me a gewaltige chesed, only because I begged the institution here, this organization, this wonderful Amic Learning Center, to buy me a little microphone, because my voice is just going on me, and the only thing that seems to help a little bit is hot tea. Binyamin, you're a tzaddik. Yes, okay, you're zocha to gevaldige chesed. Don't spill out what I have, just add hot water up to the top and I'll be able to drink it. Hopefully it'll help my voice. I'm not going to tell you which woman on the face of the earth is angry at me for coming in to give shia. She thinks that maybe you can guess, because she thinks that I'm ruining my health. But I just went for an X-ray, so we'll see what the results of the X-ray are. Oh. We're up to a paragraph here on the right column that starts with Hine Amagid Mishnah. Now, if you want to hold on to your chair, this is a good time to do so, because the Magid Mishnah says that Ludas HaRambam Yesh Iser Kedeshus Afilu B'Macheres Atzmalish Echad. According to the Rambam Shita, that even if she's designated exclusively, thank you, to one man, there still is a violation of Kedesha. Bal Korchach, the Rambam has no choice. This is the Magid Mishnah. Goras HaRambam Bisugyan, the text that the Rambam had in our Gemara in Sanhedrin, is Pilegesh Hainu Kiddushin Belog Suba. Now wait a second. The Rambam was the one who substantiated and supported the Girsa in the Mishnah that we have, and that is that Pilegesh is below Kiddushin or below Suba. Comes along the Mishnah, he says the Rambam has no choice in the matter. He must accept the girsa. Whose girsa is this? Rabosai. Kiddushin below ksuba. That was Rashi's girsa. Again, have we forgotten that there's Rashi in Parshas Chayisora, who has a different girsa in our text? And according to Rashi, the text should read that Pilagshim is Bikiddushin below ksuba. Says the Magen Mishnah, the Rama must have had that girsa. Says the Kesef Mishnah, the second super commentary on the Rambam, Tema. Mm-hmm. What is the Magid Mishnah talking about? Harama bi'atzmo kosav perek dalad milchus malachim. That was the Ram we began with this evening. If you haven't forgotten it, it's on page Shin Yud Beis, the first paragraph. Dipi legesh hainu below kedushin ubelok ksuba ela biyichud bilvad. The Rambam explicitly defines what a Pilegesh is. She's a woman who did not receive Kiddushin. All she had was Yichud, which means that he designated her as his Pilegesh. How could the Magid Mishnah not realize in his commentary on Hilchus Ishus what the Rambam writes in Hilchus Malachim? The Rambam says in Hilchus Malachim, who is Epi Legesh? She's a woman without Kedusha, without Ksuba. And the Ramban, if you recall, supported the Rambam. And he says that's the true, genuine Girsa in the Gemara. And don't be impressed by Rashi's Girsa. Now all of a sudden, the Magid Mishnah says we have to identify the Rambam with the Girsa of Rashi. That can't be. Did the Magid Mishnah forget the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim? You know, this is a very heavy accusation. The Magid Mishnah was a Rishon. He was the first super commentary on the Rambam, and then to tell me that he was unaware of the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, who identifies the Pilegesh as a woman who did not have Kedushin at all. And now you're telling me, no, the Rambam had the Girsa that a Pilegesh is a woman who had Kedushin without Ksuba. So we have another issue here on our radar screen, in addition to the issue that we have for the Ramban proves that there were many men who were greats of Israel who had Pilagshim, which is against the Rambam. Number two, we have a very strange comment of the Magid Mishnah who confirms something that is impossible to, it's untenable, that the Rambam's Girsa was that Pilegesh is Bekedushin Beloksuba. Now at this point in our discussion, enter center stage the Makne, the Sefer HaMakne. The Sefer HaMakne is one of the most important commentaries on laws of marriage, Masechta Kiddushin, and he writes the following. I think I understand what the Magid Mishnah is saying. L'das Rambam, afilu amyecheres atzma li'ish echad, osur me'isur kedeshus, even though she's singularly dedicated to one man, she still is included under the isur kedesha. Hadebuta lemelech lakachas pilegesh, how is a melech allowed to violate what seemingly would be an isur of kedesha, below kedushin, hainu, based on the rivash that we saw earlier, midin mishpat ha-melech. Sheyesh lo zchus likach noshim upilagshim. Now let's ask a very basic question. Does the Torah actually give a melech the rights to just take away a woman against her will, make her into his wife or his upilagish? Is that really so? So for that we have to learn a previous sugya, and because of the constraints of time, you're going to have to rely on just this quote of that sugya that we see here, so we're not going to go through the Gemara Daf Chav. And the Gemara records a machlokes between Shmuel and Rav. And this is one of the most fundamental debates about the whole nature of Malchus and what a Melech is and what his status is. Shmuel looks at the section that we read last week from Shmuel. Again, Shmuel the Amora looks at Shmuel the Navi. And he stayed, and he says, and he came to the following conclusion, formulated, Kol ha'omer b'parshas melech, melech mutar bo. What Shmuel says about the scope and the authority of the king is to be taken seriously. This is not some sort of a falsification of the truth. This is melech mutar bo. Rav says no. Lo nemra parsha zu, whatever Shmuel says in the parsha, was only said la'ayim alayhu. What it means is that Shmuel was very upset by the fact that the people pushed and they said, we declare, let's appoint a king like the goyim have a king. So Shmuel came to ram it into them. And he said to them, you don't know what might happen if the king abuses his authority once you appoint him as a king. Know what you're getting into, because he may become a tyrant. He may go way beyond the letter of the law, and he may do things which are unbelievable. And Shmuel tries to put the fear of the Lord in their hearts so that maybe they'll change their mind and drop the ball on their request for a king. So it means the following. Is it really true that according to Jewish law, a king is allowed to take a woman from Israel and make her into his wife, or make her into his epilegesh, even though she doesn't have any interest in agreeing to such a relationship? Does the king have the right to do so according to halacha? And what's the answer?
Yes.
It depends. Whenever I ask you a question, what's the answer? You always have to answer me with the sentence, it depends.
It's a machloikis.
It's machloikis between whom and who? Between Rav and Shmuel. Shmuel says that whatever it says in Parashas HaMelech, Melech Muterbo. Take Shmuel, the Novi Shmuel, seriously. He's not exaggerating. He's not just scaring you the pants off of the people. This is the halachic definition of the rights of the king within the Jewish law. And the Jewish legal system allows the king to do everything that it says there in Shmuel. He can confiscate property. And that was what we called eminent domain. Is that what we called it? And he can take away, you know, your sons as soldiers and conscript them into the army and the whole nine yards. Whatever it says there in the parasha of Mishpatei HaMelucha, that's all Melech Muterbo. That's the opinion of the Amora Shmuel. He takes the Novi very seriously. Rav, on the other hand, says, no, the king doesn't have these rights. It's Liayim Aleihem. Shmuel was just trying to scare them. He was trying to force them, or at least to influence them to back off. Ladas Rav, Leka Heter Lamelech Likach Noshim V'Pilagshim Bal Korcha. According to Rav, the Torah, the Tanakh, and Shmuel HaNavi never meant to say that a king is allowed to confiscate wives from the people of Israel, or women for Pilagshim Bal Korcham. And the reason now that a king could not take a Pilegesh, according to Rav, if he doesn't have that framework, because again, if you recall the Rivash, is that now it becomes an Isur Kedesha. Why? Because since a Pilegesh is without a Maisa Kedushin, so then a king should be enjoined from taking a Pilegesh. Why? Because what are you going to tell me, the Rivash is Sfara, that this is not called a Kedesha, it's not a Znus relationship, because the Torah was Mafkia, that because the Torah gave the Melech and bestowed upon him the rights to take this woman as a Pilegesh. That's not true according to Rav. Yeah. That can only be true according to Shmuel, who says that Kol HaOmer B'Parshas Melech Melech Muter Bo. So, what is a Pilegesh? How did the Torah allow a king to marry a Pilegesh? David HaMelech, as we saw at the outset, married not only wives, but also Pilagshim. And the Gemara says, at the very least, that a Melech is allowed to marry a Pilegesh. What about the Isur Kedesha, which according to the Rambam means any relationship outside of Kedushin? Ela what? The Torah were allowed it in the case of a Melech. That's only according to the Shita of Shmuel, who holds that Kol Masha Kosov and Parasha HaMelech Muterbo. And therefore the Rivash Svara is that since the king is allowed to take these women, that's his prerogative, against their will, it must be that the Torah was Mafkia, the Isur Kedeshus. But what are we going to say according to Rav? There's only one possibility. That Rav is going to hold that a Pilegesh had Kedushin. And if a Pilegesh had Kedushin according to Rav, then there's no Isur Kedeshus. And that's going to lead us to the conclusion that according to Rav, Pilegesh would be muteres, not just to the Melech, but basically to any person. Why? Because in any case, a Pilegesh is a woman who had Kedushin. It's not a Bias Kedesha. It's not a violation of Losia Kedesha. The Rambam paskins like Shmuel. Shemelech muter b'Pilegesh b'yichud greida, and that's midin mishpat ha-Melech. Because the Rambam accepted Shmuel's Shita, hook, line, and sinker, that anything that's written in the Parsha in Sefer Shmuel is Melech Muterbo. That means that the Torah gave him a right and an authority, or as Alan said so beautifully, the prerogative, what was the word?
The privilege.
The privilege, okay, I call it the prerogative, maybe privilege is better, I don't know, to marry and take a Pilegesh. So the Rambam is okay. And if you'll tell me, well, a Pilegesh is without Kedushin, how can the Melech violate the Isur of Kedesha? The answer is, the Torah itself was Mafkia the Isur Kedesha in the framework of allowing the king to exercise his prerogative to marry this woman as a Pilegesh. But what about Rav? Rav holds that the Parsha of Melech in Sefer Shmuel is only Kedei La'ayim Aleihem. And really the king has no right to take away a woman against her will. Not for marriage purposes and not for Pilegesh. So how could it be that the Torah would allow a man call the king to marry a Pilegesh, to take a Pilegesh which we said was below Kiddush, and that would be a violation of what? Of the law of Kadeshus. The answer is that Rav had a different understanding of a Pilegesh. What was Rav's understanding of Pilegesh? It was with Kiddushin, like Rashi's Girsa in Chumash, in Parshas, Chaisara.
So then there's no difference between a Pilegesh and a wife, then, according to him.
The difference is that there's no Nisuin, there's no Chuppah, there's no Ksuba, there's only Kiddushin.
But tachlis, what's the difference in actual things besides the bina kusuba to the man?
I don't know. We have to know exactly how he divorces her. Does he have to give her a get, or could he just send her on her way? Pack your bags. This is, you know, it was a nice fling, but it's over. I don't know. You know, well, again, that's one of those issues that goes beyond our section for tonight. But now, perhaps, we can begin to understand the Magid Mishnah. What did the Magid Mishnah say? The Magid Mishnah said that the Rambam must have had in our Gemara the Girsa of Pilegesh is Kiddushin without what? Without Nisuin. I mean, without Ksuba, right? And the Kesavishta yells and screams, how can you say that? The Rambam himself paskins that who is a Pilegesh? She's a woman without Kiddushin. So how can the Magid Mishnah have the chutzpah of saying that the Rambam's Girsa was that? The answer is, take a look on the top of Shin Yud Gimel on the left side of the page. Hine ha-Gemara, the Gemara asks, my Noshim and my Pilagshim. Now if you take a look in the Gemara that we learned before, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav is the one who's going to differentiate between Noshim and Pilagshim. Now Rav is committed to what definition of Pilagshim?
With Kiddushin.
So the Girsa in our Gemara must be, and we have no choice, that Pilegesh is below Ksuba, but Pekiddushin below Ksuba. Because otherwise, how could Rav himself possibly say that a Pilegesh is without Kiddushin? If a Pilegesh is without Kiddushin, then we have a lav of Kedesha. And you can't use the Svara of the Rivash that this is all within the perspective of Chukei and Mishpatei HaMelucha, because Rav never bought into the concept of Mishpatei HaMelucha. Rav said that this whole parish of Melech is all just Kedei La'ayim Aleihem in order to scare them away. Hine HaGemara, D'mai Noshim V'mai Pilagshim Avi Memra D'Rav. So Rav has no choice but to answer that a Pilagish is B'Kiddushin below Ksuba. Hence the Girsa must be some. So therefore the Magid Mishnah says that the Rambam has no choice but to have the Girsa of Pilegesh B'Kiddushin u'below Ksuba. You'll ask me the question, the Rambam himself in Hilchas Melachim Paskins, that a Pilegesh is without Kiddushin. The answer is because the Rambam Paskins like Shmuel, that Kol Masha Kosev B'Parash HaMelech Mutar Bo, which means that the Torah actually granted a schus to the Melech to take a woman against her will from the borders of Israel as a Pilegesh, and that's going to be Mafkia, the Iser Kedeshus, even though she has no Kiddushin. And for a Hedjot, the Rabbi would say this would be a violation of the Lav of Kedesha, even though she's Miuchedes Lo. And it's only a kingly prerogative because the king has Mishpatei HaMelech, in which he's allowed to take a wife from Bnos Yisrael or a Pilegesh from Bnos Yisrael against the will. That's all within the king's relationship. And that relationship is called the relationship of a Pilegesh. Even though there's no Ksuba, there is no Iser Lav of Kedesha. But the Gemara itself is Rav. And Rav holds that the king does not have any sort of prerogative or kingly mishpatei hamlucha to take women against their will. The Torah never intended to give that right to a king. It was only, as we said before, le'ayim aleihem. Is therefore, if a king doesn't have rights to take a woman against her will, just by being miyached her to him as a pilegesh, then therefore there's an iser kedeshus. And the only way that the Ravid could possibly justify David HaMelech marrying Pilagshim is only because Rav's definition of Pilagish is that she had Kiddushin, and therefore there's no violation of the law of Kedesha. So that's what the Magid Mishnah means, that we have no choice but to accept the Girsa of Bekedushin ubelo ksuva, because if there's no kedushin, there'll be a lav of kedesha, and there's no svar according to Rav to be matir kedesha to a king under the halacha of mishpat hamelucha, because Rav never bought into this whole story about mishpat hamelucha. Wow, I'm telling you, Rabosai, if you're not dancing, it's one of two things. Either because you have a cash on what I said, or because you didn't understand what I said. Those are the only two possibilities. Yeah.
If you read the Rambam, like the Maggid Mishnah is trying to do with taking Rav Svar, there's nothing exclusive about him taking anyone can do it.
Correct. Why? Because it has Kedushin. Once it's Kedushin in Pilegesh, you remove the Isur Kedesha, you're back to the Raman Shita, and that's the Ramban Shita, that anyone is allowed to take a Pilegesh. Which is very fascinating historically. I don't know if you know, 5 centuries ago there was a Rav Yaakov Emden.
Oh, yeah.
Did I mention this to you last week?
No.
And the yeshiva Bachrim were living in the yeshiva in the dormitory, and years and years were going by, and they weren't getting married, and there was a crisis situation because the men in Yiddish we say kenishness aishalten. They couldn't overcome their desire to have some sort of relation with a woman. So Rav Yaakov Emden wanted to come up with a new enactment. Let's allow them to take a pilegesh.
What?
But the problem is that the Rambam Shita is that a pilegesh is only muteris to whom?
A king.
To a king. And therefore we can't trample, the Rambam Shita. Vihine, the next paragraph that starts on the top of the left column, Haramam Kosov de Behejot, that hejot also vipilegish. Mashma, the sfile la Rambam, the leka parsha de pilegish lehejot. And then we have the Ramban's kasha. All these people, very nice Jews, amongst them Kolev and Gidon and others who married a pilegish. Now he quotes the Sefer HaMakne again. I think we quoted him once before. Now it's the second time that he quotes the Sefer HaMakne. To be emes haramam sover sheyesh parsha de pilegesh af lehejot, that it's still salvageable. You can have a pilegesh even though you're not a melech. Rak the kavonas harambam shecholuk. There's a fundamental difference between pilegesh lehejot and pilegesh lemelech. They're two different entities. There's one entity called a pilegesh for hejot and one for pilegesh lemelech. The pilegesh lemelech came in sheyesh lo parshas hamelech. The Rambam passings like Shmuel, the Amora Shmuel, that mutar kol mashikosu b'parsha melech mutar bo, is therefore all he needs is yichud bilvat. He doesn't need kiddushin. He can just designate her as his exclusive possession, so to speak, as a pilegesh, and that creates the kinyan that allows him to have a relationship with her, and it's not called kiddushus, because it's within the parsha of the melech. Aval behejot. What about the case of a hejot? What, he's going to designate a woman and say she's exclusively for him? According to the Rambam, if he does such a thing, he violates with every single relationship an Isur of Kedesha. The Rambam is going to have another definition of pilegesh as far as a hejot is concerned. What's going to be the Rambam's definition of pilegesh for a hejot? It's with kedushin. U'mishum hachi pilegesh lehejot havidafka bekedushin below ksuba. Now, from Rav Yaakov Emden's perspective, I don't think that would solve the problem, because if we're going to allow the yeshiva bachim to have kedushin, then it could be that she's an eishes ish and she'll be required to get, and he might have to support her, and who knows what it's all about. I mean, the whole kunz of the Ivitz or Yaakov Emden was to try to avoid a marriage relationship in which if the young man is willing to get married, so let's shatchan him off. We have a couple of good shatchanim in Yerushalayim. We'll find him a marriage partner, but rather. The Ramban's kasha, which was really bothering us. We see Kolev, and we see Gidon, and others that married Pilagshim. The answer is, you know what kind of Pilagshim they had? It was with Kiddushin, and if it was with Kiddushin, there's no violation of the Isur Kedeshus, because the Isur of Lotia Kedeshus, says the Rambam, is if he has a relationship with her without Kiddushin. And if this be the case, as far as a king is concerned, the Torah has a special heter allowing the king to have the most extreme kind of pilegesh, which means even without kiddushin. And if you'll argue, well, that's a violation of kedusha, even though she's miucheres lo. But the answer is that because the Rambam accepts Shmuel's shita of kol basha kosev parsha melech mutar bo, as the Rivash explained, that grants the king a certain right to take a pilegesh, and in that frame of reference, the Torah was mafkir, the iser of kedusha with regard to a melech. But if you ask me, what about all the other people who took pilegesh? The Rambam is going to have to insist that that was a different category, a different type of pilegesh. That was pilegesh with kedusha. El tzarich iyun. He says, even though it's a beautiful presentation, yeah, but lo matzinu, we never found shtei parshiyos shel pilegesh. Yeah. Where are these two parshiyos? According to the Rambam, pilegesh is a woman who is without kiddushin, and she's muteres lemelech biyichud bilvat. But where does the Rambam know that there's a second parsha of pilegesh for a hedgehog
with
kiddushin? Where's the source for such a thing? Unless you'll say, well, otherwise the Rambam is stuck with Gidon and with Kolev and all the rest. So the next piece in this, I call it Hakafa Gimel over here in this presentation, is to try to find a source for the benefit of the Rambam for this new category of Pilegesh, which is acceptable and is permissible even for a Hedjot with Kiddush. Behine beikar din pilegesh. We have about another 2 minutes till Meir, so maybe you want to open the door. He says beikar din pilegesh lemelech mevur barambam she'ein ze heter bia greda ki im de pilegesh havi min kinyan miyuchad leheter bia. The Rambam says that what is pilegesh? She has a kinyan, and as a result of that kinyan, he's allowed to have bia with her. And that's the language of the Rambam, de biyichud bilvad kona osa umuteres lo. The af de bechol isha elo kinyoni ishus lehetabia elo yidei kiddushin v'chupa bilvad. Even though the Torah only recognizes ishus, a marriage relationship which allows bia through kiddushin and chupa, nischadish bazeh, there's a new chiddush in the parasha of pilegesh, din miyuchad, shel kinyon pilegesh lehetabia. That a pilegesh has a unique kind of a kinyan that will allow bia. The hach kinyan, how do you effectuate that kinyan? Chal al yidei yichud greater. All you need is yichud. Vehine, af l'das haramban, the pilegesh lemelech hainu v'kiddushin below ksuba. I'm not sure what he means by the Ramban over here. Okay, let's leave that out. We don't have time to get sidetracked on that. The afludas ramban the pilegesh lemelech hainu bekedusha below ksuba bechol isha dialma lo chal kinyan ishus let to be al yidei kedushin greda. In other words, we need not only kedushin but to be matavir. We also need chuppah. Chuppah is nesuin, and that's when the ksuba is transferred over to the isha. That's necessary to be matavir. So up until the moment of nesuin, she's called an arusa. And he's not allowed to have a relationship with an arusa. She remains in her father's rishus. What's going to be matir the bia with an arusa? You need nesuit. And the exception to that rule is this new entity called the kinyan ishus of a pilegesh. And with the advent of pilegesh as an institution, as an enterprise, there's going to be a kinyan ishus that's going to be matir bia even without nesuit. Now, I don't know if you have page Shin Yud Dalet.
Yeah.
Okay, so we don't have the time now. We're going to have to stop for Myriv. But Beli Neder, if you push me on it, there's an amazing chiddush here of Rav Shmuel Rizovsky. I don't know if you heard the name. He was the Rashi of Panovich. He died about 10 years ago, I think, maybe 15 years ago. I don't know, time flies. And that's the chiddush here on page Shin Yud Dalet.
He learned it the rope.
Yeah, in Boston, when he used to come for treatments to Boston, when he was very ill, Reb Shmuel, so he used to come in to talk and learning with the Rav. And they hit it off tremendously. Two old Litvaks from the old country. And when Reb Shmuel came back to Eretz Yisrael, he said, Ani mitztayer, he says, I'm in tzar. There's no one in Eretz Yisrael that I could talk to in learning like the man in Boston. That's what he said. Okay, Rabbi Osai, everyone should have a great weekend.